Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, hello, Eric Hollenbach. Episode 110, if you can believe it. With my guest, Byron Broussard. What's going on,
How's
buddy?
How's it going?
New Orleans comic, you know. We mix in similar circles. This was inevitable. It was really inevitable. Yes. Eventually, you were going to come around to the podcast circuit. You know, you know I had my eye on you and stuff. We were at La Nuit last night, and we were talking about how La Nuit has kind of tightened up your game, your stand-up game. What do you mean by that?
I really like how the crowds are, it seems like they aren't really there for comedy, so it's awesome to have people who aren't ready for comedy, you know, introduced to it in a very harsh way.
With
Jackie hosting.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Doing crazy, like, anti-comedy jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, saying he doesn't have jokes, he just says shit. And if you find it funny, then laugh.
Yeah.
This is very laid back. It's awesome.
Yeah, he was the last guest. You know, he was the guest 109. You know, you're not following the time traveler. But
oh,
that's
man.
A big spot. So, it's Jackie, then you after the time traveler. So, you know, I've been trying to bounce back from a PR snafu, putting podcasts out there, putting them in a big bank, and then,
right,
you know, releasing them once a week. You know, it's tricky not to feel like an outsider sometimes in the comedy community. You know, it's almost like you're always knocking on somebody's door. You're always kind of
always trying to ask for something.
Yeah, but not ask for it, but kind of ask for it by showing
hint
up to places.
Yeah.
Hey.
Remember me?
Hey, I kind of do this stuff sometimes.
Like, remember me? I was here last week and the weeks before.
Right. You know.
Said my name.
So do you feel pressure from different cliques, like, not to hang out with certain people or to hang out with certain people to try to feel like, you know?
Yeah, I definitely understand the pressure that somebody else would feel. But I just don't, like, respond to it. Like, I hang out with the guy Kenny that everybody has a problem with. And I'm pretty sure people wonder why, you know, you still keep somebody like that as a friend. It's just because, you know, friendship is bigger than comedy.
Right.
I mean, comedy's pretty big, and he's not, you know, that great.
Comedy's also bigger than being polite sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, there's more things going
than politeness.
There's more things going on stage as an art form, and you can blow something out of proportion for fun that you don't necessarily mean just because you're talking shit. Because isn't it the art of, like, talking shit or something like that? Trying to be like, no, I'm the cleverest guy in the room, and watch this, you know? So, like, what the fuck are we doing? I don't know.
Yeah, but I find a lot of things funny. Like, I find the stupidest shit funny.
Yeah.
So it's weird for me to watch other people get mad over something that's comedy because I found it funny. Like, probably 9 times out of 10, I find crazy jokes funny.
Yeah.
And people will get mad, and it's like, I don't understand it.
Right.
It's like, it's comedy, dude. Like,
yeah, I was telling this math to Jackie, and I think it's right. I think 100% of the black comics like me, and probably 40% of the white comics like me. Do you think that that's accurate?
That sounds pretty accurate. Black people are like, I don't care.
Right, we
say some crazy shit on stage.
Right.
We try to push boundaries. So we're in, like, the same boat.
Well, there's, like, this, everyone's trying to click into this one click. And I just want everybody
to play
really nice together.
You have some really good boundary-pushing jokes.
Thanks, buddy.
You bring them out.
Well, you too, you know, you talk a lot about depression, you talk a lot about being bisexual and stuff, different weird sexual stuff, you know. I think, you know, it's really brave to kind of just put all that stuff out there. And we were having this other conversation, like, you know, sometimes I would say, you know, if I were to critique your material rudely, unsolicited, I'd say sometimes you go sometimes too dark, you know,
right,
and it bums out the crowd. And I think now, because La Nuit, I see over, like, the last 2 months, I was saying to you, like, you're relaxing, you're slowing down, and now you're, like, always kind of staying with what's funny about a situation instead of just getting off your chest. Sometimes it was like you were getting stuff off your chest, but now I see you're kind of like realizing to put it So yeah. Do you feel like you've turned a corner too?
I kind of do. I remember my earlier jokes would kind of be like not really like information, but just like anger that I was trying to get people to feel, just trying to get people to feel any emotion.
Right.
When stand-up should really just be about comedy.
Right.
It shouldn't be about the hey, this guy's making me angry.
Right.
Although that is a part of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be the main part.
So what did you have to get off your chest when you started doing comedy that was like torturing you, that made you feel like you need to say that?
I just had feelings of not fitting in.
Right.
So I just felt like
you wanted people to understand your struggle.
Yeah, I could flip those feelings, right, alienate the audience, and be like, now we're one. Now we're all alienated together.
Just to almost be
now
like,
now nobody knows what's going on.
Right. So you were just trying to confuse everybody. So what, do you want to talk about your sexuality and how that's come up in your life? And,
sure.
You know, have you felt stigmatized and stuff like this?
I have not felt stigmatized. I wanted to do a joke that I was like, I was going to say I'm the, holy shit, music changed. I was going to say I was the most like in the closet, out of the closet person. But like that was like, I don't really tell people about my sexuality, but I am like out of the closet, quote unquote, because right, I do say it on stage. And
right.
I'll admit to it if anybody asks.
Right.
I just don't like flaunt it. And I also wanted to do a joke like I like to kind of like pushing boundaries. Like, saying jokes that would probably almost be offensive to gay people, but, like, not really.
Right.
It would be offensive to the prototype gay person or whatever, the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I were to say, I think I only, you know, fuck guys just so I could do these gay jokes. Just so I can have certification.
Right,
and nobody
right,
will tell me anything. It's like, maybe that's the only reason I'm fucking dudes. I'm not sure.
You know, I heard someone say, like, no, I only converted to Judaism for the jokes, so I can tell really anti-Semitic jokes.
Yeah. Like, this will go really good with my career.
Yeah. So, I was doing a little Google stalking of you today,
okay,
and I found out that your other name in a different life is Lord Byron, in which you make religious music, and you have one song called Find Faith or Fiction.
Yes.
What does that mean? Find Faith or Fiction? What are you trying to get at?
That was originally an Avenged Sevenfold song, and it was called Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written a song. It was like my early days of songwriting and recording, and it just fit with that beat. And it was just called Find Faith. So,
is the or fiction a nod to it might be, you might be agnostic, you know?
Yeah, I am agnostic, and I wanted it to be called Fiction, but I thought that would be too much of a slap in the face to anybody religious listening to it. This is a very religious song.
Right.
It's, I kind of pride myself on being able to say things that I don't really like believe in.
Right.
So
you'll make a religious album just for the money.
Yeah,
you'll
make a
satanic album just for the money. You got no allegiance, really.
I like having no allegiance.
No, but it's a very bisexual position, you know? Like, you can make a religious music and be an atheist and dabble in agnosticism. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to choose. You don't
really
have to get
strange.
Labeled.
I got a letter from, like, a record label that's kind of, like, Christian. It's called, like, Hilltop.
Yeah.
And they were like, we heard some of your songs or something. And I was thinking, like, what? Like, Christian, they probably didn't hear any of my songs.
Right.
They were like, send some lyrics or whatever. Because we have artists over here who are looking for fresh new gospel lyrics.
Mm.
And
how about those artists, like, get off their lazy ass and
write for real, write your own gospel lyrics.
What are they doing? They're just cashing checks and they're like, yeah, I don't really do.
I got a really good voice
this week. And then I, like, but I'm really, I need some more money. You know, get to work.
You wrote this on Facebook. I think this is a very interesting thing, and it's time-stamped, and this is evidence that I'm confronting you with. March 4th, at, 2015, at 2.06 p.m., you wrote these words. Bullies kicking bullies. An animated account of Facebook interactions between comedians.
Yes.
Interesting.
I was thinking of Shorties Watching Shorties when I wrote that. And I thought it would be really, really funny if somebody famous, like, got together with other comedians and went on Facebook and looked at their posts. And comedians in comments, they always go crazy. And they'll gang up on somebody, or they'll gang up
on
a joke.
What do you mean? How has that ever happened?
it's happened a lot.
Has that ever happened?
Yes. For a few different people in this small community, it has happened.
That's weird.
And I think it would be quite a crazy sketch show to show, like, comics of, I don't know, just Facebook posts out and animated.
Oh, I see. Like the intellectual battle, like animated. I got you.
Bullies kicking bullies.
This past Tuesday, you went to Hot Cold Comedy, the opening night of it, and John Rowe and Kyle Smith produced that. How was that? Was that fun?
Yes, Hot Cold was really fun. I left with quite a few misconceptions, though. I thought the hookahs were free.
You thought the what?
The hookahs. I thought the hookahs were free.
Right.
Because everybody was sitting on a couch, like, lining the walls.
Yeah.
And everyone had a hookah. It was like one hookah to every two people that were there.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Like, a place with free hookahs and comedy. Like, we're going to shoot off here. But apparently people were paying like $15 for those hookahs.
Right, right.
$15 to $25.
They already laid out their cash.
Yeah.
So were you trying to, like, suck on someone's hookah that, like, wasn't cool with it?
No, they were cool with it, but I did mooch on quite a few hookahs.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know I was mooching at the time. It's a weird feeling.
You know, I'm starting to think the music's a little loud. You want to go on the fucking patio?
Yeah.
That's a bad there. Sound? We got out from the fucking bar. It's a little loud, you know, so.
Yeah.
You wrote this post on Facebook. You have this article on Facebook that's pretty interesting. It says, Freeway Rick Ross saying that hip-hop is used as a government tool. And this is a quote from Rick Ross. He said, I believe that what they've done is they're taking hip-hop and make it glorious to be a drug dealer. You know, when I sold drugs, I hid. They didn't want anybody to know I sold drugs. But now they've got these guys who've never sold drugs. And apparently there's a rapper, Rick Ross, going on, who stole his name and now is pretending to sell drugs with the fake name of the real guy who sold a lot of drugs and made a living of it. What's up, man?
How you doing? I think we're early for the show.
Yeah, that's cool.
Indeed. Well, rap is a very crazy subject.
What's up, Eber Zabel?
Hi.
Just,
you know what's going on here.
Oh, what's up? Recording.
I got a podcast with Byron right now.
Oh,
that's okay. Cool. No, that's cool. So, yeah, so...
I think the media and, like, what's popular, like, the charts and stuff like that, I think they are manipulated by some weird thing. I don't know if it's a zeitgeist or whatever people like to call it. But it could just be, you know, people are like, glorify this because we want...
Right.
Young black people to look up to drug dealers. And that's been happening for a really long time. I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but drug dealers have been popular for quite a while.
And it's like, that's illegal, but it's somehow also being promoted really hardcore by multinational corporations.
They're putting a lot of money into the promotion of drug dealers.
right.
It's strange.
Just going, I got so much money, I got so much drugs, look at all these booties.
Yeah. You know? It's a good life.
So you just think that's kind of like soul poison?
In a way, it's soul poison. In a way, it's not. In a way, it's liberating. But, like, it's kind of in the wrong ways it's liberating.
Right.
So it's strange.
Do you have any joke regrets? Have you ever told jokes that you... that were too much, that you think, like, when you realize that the moral of where the joke's coming from, you feel bad about it later, or something like this. You don't want to promote, like, the wrong, you don't want to give soul poison out with your jokes, you know?
Yeah, I thought wrong about it's not even like a horrible joke or anything. It's just a joke about like my parents getting a dog and the dog getting more attention than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad about that joke because like it's not really true. And it's fucked up to say that my parents love a dog more than me. And I don't know. I just felt bad about that one.
That's not bad.
Which is strange because in another joke I talk about like, you know, orally satisfying a girlfriend.
Right.
And subconsciously thinking about my mother in the joke.
Right.
And I think that one's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, that one's good to
but
close
But for
with.
Some reason saying that like when your parents got empty nest syndromes because all the kids left the house
yeah.
and they spent a lot of attention on their dog, that's what made you feel bad for bringing
yeah.
up?
That one makes me feel bad.
Cause
it's probably too real.
It's making further emotions.
Yeah.
They're saying, well, how dare you get sympathetic over this dog?
I did a joke about my dad being the best humble bragger there is.
Mm-hmm.
And a night I went to Shoddy Feelgood show, the black show in New Orleans. Didn't do great, but I did that joke. And then my dad showed up at the end. And I was like, oh, hi, Dad. You know, I didn't want to introduce him to anybody because I had just said, you know, he's the biggest humble bragger ever.
Right, right.
Like, I just made fun of him.
And then, like,
there.
The ghost of, like, that joke shows up.
Yes.
And is like, what the fuck were you saying?
It was a very weird moment.
Yeah.
I just kind of tried to rush out of there.
So you were telling me earlier that you work at a group home, you know? What's
yes.
that like?
That is a very stressful job. It is... It's weird. It's very weird.
How does it work? There's a big home and just a lot of, like, people that would be homeless or kind of disturbed live there, and you just kind of look after them, make sure they're okay?
Well, they have mental illness, I guess you would call it. So they pretty much pay to have a lot of things done for them in a home.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are old, some of them aren't old, but, I mean, like, we're paid to sit with them, wash their clothes, clean up the house and everything, cook. So it's like it's a normal home with about like 3 rooms, possibly 6 clients to a home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, the weird thing is like people treat them as their own kids at some points, and like some people discipline their kids differently.
Right.
And then those are like, these people are like kids who have learning problems. So, like, some people start getting angrier over time, and they change. They, like, personally change. It's a very strange situation working there for, like,
right.
long periods of time.
Because you like, start to get, people. Like, too comfortable with the people, and then you start losing focus on...
Kinda, yeah.
You just start getting, like, stressed out at the situation instead of, like, handling it more professionally.
Yes, that is
yeah.
that is kind of the
So is it important to, like, take time off and stuff and, like, regroup
yeah.
in between?
Right now they have us on a 7-on-7-off schedule.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of convenient for comedy. I
yeah.
like that. 1 week I can hit every show, and then the next week I'm kind of, you know, stuck with three really late shows.
Right.
Cool.
But you're doing it. You're keeping your eye on the ball. You're staying focused. So, you were telling me about the episode... Let's wait for this.
Oh, no.
Po-po. You were telling me about the Carrie Cassidy episode. You know, you also like conspiracies. You
yes.
like going down dark, you know, internet.
I enjoy conspiracy theories.
So what do you think's going on?
If I want to put my honest opinion out there, I would say that there's definitely alien involvement.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I can believe the guy's story about Mars just because he's so calm about it.
Oh,
he's just so
Andy
nonchalant.
Bishago?
Yeah. He's just so like, hey, I went to Mars.
Yeah.
We stepped through a time machine. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Right,
if you
right.
say so.
Right.
I haven't seen any evidence.
You
about
gotta
not
see
doing
a 6-hour long PowerPoint presentation on YouTube. You know, it'll
yeah.
break your brain.
I believe a lot of shit from Africa was taken and kind of like perverted over time for the Western world.
What African stuff?
Kind of like the deities and the systems. Like they used to have the the weird pharaoh and stuff like that.
Right.
And now we have, like, the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of, like, twisted the African shit. I don't know what the fuck they were doing. Probably messing with aliens.
Right.
But they took that shit and they changed it.
Whoever finds himself at the top of the pyramid has been corrupted by the same society that's keeping alien shit secret, is your theory.
Yeah, that sounds correct.
Back to ancient Egypt, before that, you know...
the 1% ruling the many, the masses.
I had a guest called Alfred Lambermont Weber, and he was going off on some podcast with this guy called Vinny Eastwood, saying that, you know, Roosevelt signed a treaty in Panama in 1933 with draconian reptile gray aliens, you know.
Right.
And then we've been keeping that contract ever since, and they're giving us weird technology in an underground bunker, you know. Why not? If
yeah,
something's
why
a
not?
Secret, I'll just assume that there's an underground bunker with aliens.
For real, because there's no like videos of people making these special equipment that they come up with randomly.
Right.
Like if there was a video of scientists sitting for 28 weeks or whatever in a lab coming up with hover technology,
right,
like then maybe we could be like, well, there's no such thing as aliens,
right,
because they did it. They were in that lab for 28 weeks playing around with fans or shit. I don't know.
What do you think? Was Steven Jobs like really just like a concubine for a bunch of really horny gray aliens, and they would fuck him, like use him like their little mistress bitch, and then give him some like Apple technology and shit?
You see, this is the reality, so, like, I would like to
the
believe
CEO
in.
CEO of the company, and they're like, hey, he's a genius. He was just like a alien cocksucker.
This is the fun reality. This is the cool one where he's around sucking aliens' dicks.
Right, right.
But in the plain reality that everyone else tries to believe in, he just, you know, found a bunch of people who could do a bunch of things, and he put them together.
Mm-hmm.
Those people could have been aliens. Who knows? Where's the records at?
How do you know you're not an alien, Byron?
I don't know.
What? Were you coming out of... Did you hatch out of an egg?
I don't think I hatched out of an egg, but who knows about the bloodline?
Bloodline? What do you mean?
Bloodline, histories, everything with, like... Everything seems to relate to its history. People relate to their histories. Things relate to their histories. All the symbols and stuff. And what they did with Africans is they kind of muddled it up after they conquered them in wars.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of, like, hid their histories and shit. So I don't know if they were fucking with aliens or if other people arrived because they were fucking with the aliens. So I don't know who was and who wasn't in this weird history. But who knows what the bloodline was about. I don't know.
You know, like, skeptics can just say, like, well, a series of people can have a diagnosis of schizophrenia. And that same series of people could watch the movie E.T. And they can also watch the movie Alien, and then they could be completely bananas. Like,
right.
That's also possible. So, you know... But when you look at, like, security levels, when you look at, like, you know, that there's all these, like... the FBI website recently posted a huge cache of documents, and it seems to be all pointing in one direction, you know?
Right. Which direction?
The alien direction?
Okay. Just making it clear, because I wasn't sure. Yeah, it's insane. I don't know.
Yeah. And how all the news programs aren't just totally, like... You know, we're kind of, like, stealing oil from a sovereign country and, like, shooting a bunch of people. Like, that side is, like, never even considered in the whole Iraq thing. Like, that
yeah. The
very common sense position where it's like, oh, no, this is just, you know.
Yeah, so it seems like it's always those manipulations and perception to make themselves happy.
You know, like, John Kerry's like, we got to go into Syria. And then Benjamin Netanyahu's like, yo, Iran's a big issue. And, like, you know, they're just always pushing the same button of, like, hey, let's start shooting missiles at some of these motherfuckers. Like, you know, like, translation.
Yeah, and then it brings up, like, the questions. Are they trying to control the population? Like, are they trying to bring the numbers down? And these people are just easy to fuck over?
Right.
Like, is that what's going on?
Right.
Because they have this oil that we say is scarce, you know, and we're saying scarcity's happening. But nobody can, like, nobody can get all the information and say, all right, this is scarcity, we're going to literally run out of oil because we don't even know where all the oil in the world is at.
Right.
So who knows what the agenda is pushing or for what. We can just tell what happened, you know, seconds after it happens. We see it on YouTube. Like, oh, that happened. I wonder why.
Yeah.
News is telling us this reason.
It is weird. You know, and like back in the day, they're like, well, you know, you always think in time travel scenarios, like, would you go back and kill Hitler, you know? And it's like, no, whoever's saying that, like, isn't, like, shooting George Bush, you know what I mean? Like, like there's a guy walking around right now. So, yeah, you say you would kill Hitler, but would you kill George Bush for doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look at what he did.
All the other people who did crazy shit.
They falsified evidence to go into Iraq. Like, that's you know, that's not maybe not like Hitler levels, but it's like the deception and the intent is Hitler levels, you know. I don't know. It is all kind of fucked up, you know.
It brought to mind a saying I had once, saying if Jesus had accepted the devil's temptations in the desert, like, he would just be known as Alexander the Great. Like, people would still love him anyway. Like, yeah. You died for our sins, that's great, but you could have accepted that shit and been king of the world.
Right.
Like somebody like Alexander the Great, who conquered everybody.
So if he did that deal with the devil, he would have just been like a Caesar figure.
Yeah, instead of a Jesus figure.
He would have still been famous.
Yeah.
No matter what album he was putting out, it was going platinum.
Yeah, once you can talk with the devil, you're going to be famous.
Right, right.
No matter what the conversation.
If you sign that contract or not, you know. Or if Steve Jobs sucks that alien cock or not, like, he was going to be famous anyway.
He was going to do something with it.
But he was near enough to smell it, you know? So he got to run Apple and shit. He's the alien's bottom bitch.
Yeah.
So, it's probably why he got colon cancer. I can't say that. That's not right. To say that.
That's new evidence to bring to the table.
So their radioactive dicks were fucking over the edge. Did he even have colon cancer or was it lung cancer or something?
I don't even know.
Whatever.
Rest in peace. I just want to say that.
So you got booked on Roast Battle April 19th at 8
yes.
p.m. Now there's a series of comics, you know, then there's a Roast Battle. Are you worried that too many feelings are going to get hurt? Are you worried not enough people's feelings are going to get hurt? So again, March 22nd, April 19th, Sunday, 8 p.m., doors open, 7:30. Want to put that out there.
Get there quickly. I don't think people's feelings will get hurt because I think the right people are going to come to it.
Right.
They're going to come with the right thing in mind.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, I'm a roast this dude, and he's probably going to go home crying, but he's going to be the only person crying. And he's not going to be heard about it the next day.
Right,
it's
going to
be quick tears.
Right. Because, you know, there's going to be a winner, there's going to be a loser, you know, and the audience is going to be out for blood. So
you're going to have to come with a little bit of thick skin. Just fine. Because I like people making fun of me because that's how my family dynamic was.
That's how mine was, too, you know.
My nickname was Chubby growing up.
Right, that's tricky.
Yeah. It's pretty fucked up.
Oh, so what's your, like, ultimate goal with comedy? Like, where is this party train going?
I would like to be able to do what I call the Donald Glover move, which is get into most fields, most entertainment fields, acting, writing, music, and comedy. I would like to do all of those. I'm not sure I'd be a good actor, but I don't know.
You figure when you get a good enough comedy act going, they'll just cast you and stuff.
Yep. They'll write for my part eventually.
Do you have a mile marker that you'll pass and then go, okay, now I'll move to Los Angeles or now I'll move to New York? Have you thought about any of that?
Yeah, I actually do have a mile marker. I think, I want to do comedy in New Orleans for at least 2 years before taking a move anywhere else. I don't want to move anywhere too early.
Right. And
not that I don't think I couldn't handle myself or anything. Just I want to at least have the credibility in the city I came from before I move somewhere else and try to get credibility there. And
so how long have you been doing it?
Just a year now.
So you want 3 years before you go?
Two, but three would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at my parents' house right now, so it's hard to stay there. I don't know.
Right.
So I'm thinking of moving to New Orleans. But if I move to New Orleans, then I'm not going to just move for a year and then leave.
Right.
Unless it's a really short lease somewhere.
Do you save up and then get a 1 year lease and then try to save it? Or, you know, just save up for another year at your folks' house and then make the move to Los Angeles. Or skip that step. If you're going to get your own place anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But it might be nice to have, like, a couple G's, like, chilling, you know, so that you're ready to go. Because, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people getting off of Greyhound every day. You know, it's not even easy for regular stuff to get regular stuff out there, you know.
Yeah. I don't really know if I want to move to Los Angeles or... I'm not sure if I want to move for comedy or for music or for just location.
Right.
So it's like I have a lot of stuff to think about. For right now, I'm just kind of putting out material.
Right.
I'm trying to get some type of a following of people who like weird shit.
Mm-hmm. Just gotta sling out that weird shit.
Yep. I'm putting out an album. I got it copyrighted. It's called Post-Gamop 2813.
Putting out a comedy album?
No, it's music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Post-Gamop music is what I call it. It's my genre, post-screamo hip-hop.
Mm. After screamo happened.
Yes.
This is hip-hop. Like, yes. You have to have heard that to understand this.
Yeah, show. I grew up on screamo. I used to love emo music. And music like Hawthorne Heights and... you know, Skylit Drive type shit.
Right.
And, I don't know. I tried to incorporate that storytelling into my rap lyrics. And, just make a very laid-back genre of mashing stuff. Yeah, the album's called Hide Your Sin. I haven't come out with a release date yet.
So it's done?
Sometime this year, yeah.
Is it some of it religious, some of it's not religious?
I wouldn't say religious, but it's... I caught myself about to say spiritual instead of religious. But that's pretty much, you know, it's historical.
Leaves it ambiguous. Doesn't give it a label, you know.
It's about mental illness and black power, I guess you could say.
Mm. Do you feel, Byron, that with, you know, your own depression, your own stuff, that you relate to the struggles of the people in the group home all the more because you kind of like... Do you feel like you help yourself by helping them?
I don't know if I help myself by helping them, but I can definitely relate. My coworkers would probably call me too laid back or lazy to a point because I kind of let them live their life. I try not to push agendas on them, or like people who work there and like without a person like me to slow them down, they'll get into schedules. Like they'll be like, 3 o'clock we get back. Everybody gets in the shower. Everybody gets a bath. You change to your bedclothes.
Right.
We do dinner at this time. We, you know, it's very schedule oriented. But when I'm working, I kind of let them run the show, because it is their house. They literally live there.
Right.
So like, if somebody doesn't want to take a bath, I'm not gonna force them, kicking and screaming into a bathtub. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait it out, and I'm gonna ask them later.
Right.
Like, hey, do you feel like taking a bath now? You know, and if they say yes, then cool. You know, I'll go do that job. It's strange. I just kind of put them first instead of putting the company first.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, because I do relate.
How do you relate?
I have people with... I have impulsive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with that. I grew up with ADD also.
Yeah.
And a little bit of dyslexia. So...
I can understand when people can't control their impulses, because my impulses make me want to like yell things randomly.
Right.
And I used to do that in school, and I kind of got broken by teachers constantly giving me detentions and saying I'm being bad. So I kind of like I got broken, and I started shutting up.
Right.
And that's why today, like, I don't really
They
talk.
Took your spirit away.
Yeah, they did.
They totally broke you in an institutional prison system to stop saying what's on your mind.
Yes.
This is school.
Yeah,
why are you thinking out loud? You
know
what
why.
Drives me crazy about school is they, like, some kid, like, made a finger gun, you know?
Yeah.
Made a finger gun. And they're like, he's a terrorist. And they, like, suspended him forever. And, you know, you can't even make you can't put your middle finger up anymore.
Oh,
because
man.
That's like, you know, so you can't do this finger. You can't do that finger because that's a finger gun.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, how your many.
Weapons.
So your two hands can get you suspended as you're strutting your fingers about. You got two hand motions that are illegal.
We're talking about kids. I used to imagine when I was in school, like, second, third grade. What's up? Second, third grade, I used to imagine that my finger guns could actually shoot out bullets, but they were rubber bullets or erasers, and I could, like, choose how hard I was hitting people, and, like, I'd have that imagination, and I'd just walk around school shooting people, and, like, that's a normal kid type thing.
No, you're a terrorist.
I might just want to join ISIS. I'm not quite sure.
That was a thought crime, you know?
But please, America, don't hunt me down. I think they're already watching anyway, since I'm a potential artist.
ISIS, that's a Mardi Gras crew, right?
I think it's a float.
Yeah.
They're hardcore. They don't play.
Yeah.
You know, don't touch their float when they... you might lose that hand.
Yeah, like bead-related terrorism.
They have buzz saws on the side.
There's, like, barbed, like, bits in the beads. They throw, like, a crown
of thorns.
The beads
are there just to get you closer to it. Get you closer to the buzz saws.
Plastic tambourines. Yeah. This piece of doom.
We all just like started toking up. It was really great. We just pulled out weed randomly.
What?
Started throwing shit back. And the next year they said, don't do that because it's against the law now.
Miss Wood Doubloons.
Wood Doubloons, yeah.
We both got the same rig.
Yeah.
I got a Wood Doubloon, though.
Mine's a little fucked up, though.
Right, right.
I won't pass for a cigarette.
I got one from Crew de Voo.
So.
They're very rare now.
Yeah. Do you feel, whoops.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. See, when I was a kid, it was the aluminum. Yeah, aluminum doubloons. People had, like, giant 5-gallon pickle jars full of aluminum. You don't even see those too
much. How do you think the podcast game is going so far? What's going on with this podcast?
Like it'll wrap around your
taking a little break, but you know, I edited it down, you know, to its essentials, so there's not too much pressure.
But it is
awesome.
But
I like your podcast. It's pretty damn awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't know how you get your guests, but I enjoy them.
Well, you know, Andrew Bishago took seriously 6 months to get, but you know, he's a time traveler for DARPA,
right.
You know, so he's not always like available on this time frame. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah, sometimes he's not right. He's not in this time frame.
No, sometimes he's in like the Renaissance in France. You know, so like you gotta call him again, and that, you know. But
yeah.
Now that I got him on, I feel very proud of myself. You know, it was fun to have him on. We talked for 3 hours. It was great, and so, yeah, I like dipping I do stand-up comedy, and I like conspiracies, so I just interview whoever is available in either of those
genres. Yeah, and I'm in the group Young Funny, which might be going through a name change. Not sure, it's exclusive for you. I like their episodes on your podcast when they were just talking about how they got into comedy and shit that happened to them, because I don't really get to hear that, even though I'm in a group with them. You know, we don't really talk about our origin stories and stuff like that.
Young Funny?
Yes.
I had them on my podcast?
You had Kyle and John on your podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So your group is called Young Funny? I never heard that.
Yes.
And what's that? Is it? It's sketch outside of here? Where do you guys perform sketch?
No, it's just a group.
Hey, Paul.
Just group mentality.
What's up, guys?
I don't know. We're trying to start doing sketches.
What's up? Try. Bring it in.
You know what's going on.
Yeah.
Nothing unusual. Nothing unusual.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to ask you for cigarettes. Can I bum a cigarette from anybody?
In fact, keep it.
What?
The last one in that pack.
Left.
I got a new sketch.
What if you gave him the new pack?
I did say keep.
Yeah.
See, this is why we're in Young Funny. He just said he has a new idea.
So what is it? Where do you guys perform sketches?
Oh, we haven't started yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you just collected a bank of sketches and get it ready.
Over the past week or so, we started collecting.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't been like a long time.
Right. Okay.
We're not procrastinating yet.
Young Funny's a young group.
Yes.
And that name might change.
Yeah. We're trying things out.
Yeah. You know?
It's very explorative in the comedy game.
Here, right? Now
hey, we don't need labels. We don't need labels. You know, you just do what you do.
You just don't gain stamina to be doing that shit for a long time.
Well, it's just like...
So, sometimes you catch heat, you know, you get boundary, you find a boundary.
Yep.
Go around that boundary.
Find a way around it.
So,
over, under, or through.
We just came from Always.
Yep.
You had a good set there.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, you were fresh. You had some fresh shit laying it down.
Yep, I chose to do a monotone delivery, or at least I tried to stick to it.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
You try to keep like a consistent timing throughout to get them on the same vibe and just like laid all your jokes out from that timing.
Kind of teach people when to laugh.
Right.
Or when the punchline's coming. I don't know, it works sometimes.
It's coming together. You're a scientist. You put out hypotheses and then you go out and you test them out.
Yeah.
So how much total time do you say you got right now?
Stage time?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been doing it for a year for almost every day. It's just a lot of hours. I can't count that well.
But if they were like, hey, you can you do 30 minutes at this club? Oh. Like when you did Always, when you headlined Always. How long did you do?
I think that was probably 15 minutes. I think I got cut a little early.
You did 15? Right.
Had something going on, but my longest time going on stage was 27 minutes at the Howlin' Wolf. It was just Red Bean and Carrie B and Nature Boy in there, and Vince Galino, and like I was kind of getting my revenge for them putting me on last and running the crowd out that day. So I did my whole set and like.
You wouldn't get off no matter what.
Yeah, like they lied at me and I was like, I'm not finished yet. Yeah, so it did 20-something minutes that time.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
So that was the longest. Are you comfortable with 27 minutes worth of material?
Yeah. I'm comfortable.
Do you have more? Do you think, like, how long do you have right now?
I think I can go 30. At least 30 minutes.
Are you thinking about working towards an hour? Once you have an hour, then you can do something with that. You know, you can film it or this kind of thing.
Kind of. At first, like when the year, just like in January, I felt like I had to start doing new jokes because it was a new year. But I don't know if I'm trying to work towards a video or a CD yet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm still new. I don't have the street cred to put
well, you're
out.
About to, you know, you were saying earlier that you think that you can move to like New York or LA in like 2 years or something like that or something, you know, so like if you did that, wouldn't it be better if you went with an hour, you know what I mean, and then start fresh when you get there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because nowadays, you know, you can. There's all kinds of hustles. You can get like a UNO grad student to film, and then they could get credit hours. You can get that. You know what I mean?
Right. Networking.
Yeah, I mean, like Craigslist ain't just for your dick. You know what I mean? It's like 90%, but then like sometimes you can get something done with it.
Those good ads.
Right.
Looking for work, actor.
Yeah, like I'm saying, go to the glory holes. That's not. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying you can also post an ad about. like, you know, a film project. It's not just, you know, when you got the hour, do it. Yeah. I'm really big on this because it's like, you know, it's very important for us not to always just be producing or to have some kind of, like, right. clear thing, you know what I mean?
Sometimes you got to put, you know, your net into the unknown, see what you get out.
Yeah, yeah. So, man, really got into, like, you ever watch any, like, fart porn or anything? Like, fart porn?
I've seen one, cake farts. Have you seen that one?
What's cake farts?
She sits on it's like a chocolate cake, it's brown.
Yeah.
And it's this white lady, she sits on it, and she starts farting with, like, cake batter all over her ass.
Oh, so it's, like, not a finished cake? They're, like, putting one together?
No, it was a baked cake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She kind of sat on it. So the icing's kind
of farting. For
yeah.
Right. What do you think? Pretty hot?
I wasn't turned on, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
I did not look away.
Right. It's kind of just like a car crash, like watching yeah. that ass like slowly go towards that cake. You're like, what?
She did it. Yeah.
And it's also like, you know, if it's several layers, it's like someone baked like three different sheets of cake. They cut it around. Then yeah. they iced the side. They iced all the layers. Then they put it together. And now her ass is just farting into it. Yeah. You know, just
nobody ate it.
Just exploded. Yeah. She could have ate it if there was, like, some sections of the cake that didn't have poo shrapnel on them. From her farting on it. But
what if that was, like... probably the next video. What if your mom did that, like... eating it.
Like, or on Christmas, like, she did that. In front of the whole family.
I'd be very embarrassed.
Merry Christmas!
I'd be like, maybe it's time for that home. Can't be doing that.
Let's call nursing homes now, Ma. That's fun.
Yeah.
So how's your relationship with your folks? They're here, you know, yeah. crashing at their pad. They're your roommates.
Yep.
Do you get live along? With them. Is there any friction there?
It's all right. I mean, there used to be friction, and then like friction got stripped, as in like screw terms. So now we just gotta roll smoothly. Everybody has their role.
Yeah.
And my role is doing nothing around the house and, you know, kind of get bitched at it a little bit, but not bad. It's weird.
Well, you do your own laundry?
Yeah, I do my own laundry.
What aren't you doing around the house, man?
I'm not doing extra work. I'm not washing everyone's dishes. I'm not,
right.
I'm not cutting the grass. Not a water, what's that, pressure washing the house or anything. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Not a very responsible guy. I blame the ADD.
Do you play video games? Do you play live video games?
No, I don't. What I do with my time is I watch things on the internet.
Yeah.
Mostly TV or anime right now.
Yeah.
I'm big into the anime.
Watch The Last Airbender?
I have not.
Dude, the Nickelodeon version of The Last Airbender is off the chain amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know about the movies. The movies are kind of crap, but that, like, the anime series
I did watch the movie.
Airbender is unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw the movie. It wasn't great. I mean,
yeah,
you could see the stories there. Like, you could see what they were pulling from. They just didn't pull it all
but
the way.
But just, like, the fact that anyone gives Shyamalan any money, the fact that he has his freedom and can walk around the street
yeah.
is frightening to me because he's wasted so many people's time, money, effort. All those Americans that could be doing anything else other than watching his film.
Yep, and like, I'm pretty sure he knows it too.
He's disappointed a generation. You had 1.5 movies that were anything, and then you made 90 pieces of garbage. Like, that does mean that you are terrible. That's a bad batting yeah. average.
Like, it's the Nicolas Cage argument, too.
Yeah. Well, that's some sacred ground for me, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I like it. I like his acting, but sometimes it is over the top.
It's kind of his charm, though, you know?
Yeah.
Do you want someone who, like, puts effort into it? And, yeah, maybe that's, like, effort where he goes from, like, 0 to 20, like, in every scene. But, you know, he's trying. He's doing something.
Makes it to the theaters, and that's, you know, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That product.
So, how much, like, you know, experience do you have, like, with both of the sexes? Like, do you take anybody back to your mom and dad's house, or when you get down with someone?
Had a few girlfriends.
Yeah.
Never dated a guy. I don't like guys like that.
Right.
I find dicks are gross, but at the same time, I still would have sex with a dude. I don't know. It's a very weird feeling. I don't know. I explain it as like a girl type of bi. Like girls can say girls are cute or whatever. They could have weird intimate moments together, but then they still don't want to date girls. So I'm just kind of lumped into a bi area.
Right.
Like, I do like transgendered guys. Those guys are cool. Or ladies, whatever they like to be called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but mostly girls for dating. I'd like to eventually marry a lady. Make a family one day. Maybe when I'm out there in California or New York.
Mm-hmm.
After I have my special.
But you do, you like the amount of, just like a little sprinkle in it of man in the situation, so that's why like a transgender person is like,
yeah, that
a good gateway man.
I don't know. I feel like they're a freer people, freer minded, because you had to go through a lot of shit to end up,
right,
you know, in that position. I feel like they don't really have a lot of politics or anything with them. Like, not judgment like free zone, yeah.
Right.
Yep, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, you know how misogynists take advantage of women? Like, what if I'm just doing that to dudes? Like, just this player, just playing dudes. It's like, I don't really like you, but I'd fuck you. It's strange.
So would you be a top or a bottom or
a top?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I'm scared of being a bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know, scary business.
I'm not gay at all, but you know, like I also had like a finger in my ass one time, and the doctor, you know. It was like, I have bad hemorrhoid issues, yeah, you know what I mean? Too. Like, any kind of penetrative thing is just, like, off the table.
Yeah.
Because I'm already starting at a deficit, you know? I already have problems. Like if I can't even eat a taco and shit right, like, how is a fucking dick slamming in my ass going to make any...
Yeah, it just doesn't seem appealing.
It's just going to be, you know what I mean? Like, just take my hemorrhoids, like, next level hemorrhoids... Just too. No one wants to open that can of worms.
Weird,
you know?
Thing, having experiences with guys is like, I used to make fun of this girl I knew in high school, who would show interest in guys and like, you know, hang out with them outside of school, but like when they would try to be intimate together, she would tell them no, and like stop them, but. It's like she kind of like wanted to be forced into the act.
Right.
And we would like make fun of that. Like, what the fuck? She wants us to rape her. Like, what type of person does that? Now, like growing up, and being more mature, having my experiences with both sexes, like if I were to do anal play, like being a bottom, it would have to be a rape situation. I would be that person going, no, no. And then, like, wanting it still. So it's like, I stopped making fun of her for her thing.
Cause
maybe
you
she doesn't like guys. Place. Yeah.
Because you were interested enough to want it to... You didn't want to choose.
Yeah.
But if it was chosen for you, then it
be
takes the guilt away from the stigma of, you know...
Yep.
Oh, you're some butt slut.
Yeah, that's a very weird thing to admit. Like, definitely do not want, you know, random people trying to rape me. It's definitely not the point of getting that one across. Yeah, I don't know.
That's not what you're trying to say?
No,
do not want suitors to rape me, future suitors out there.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you got to be careful what you put out there, because yeah. somebody might like put a cloth of chloroform in front of your face and be
he
like,
asked
"I know
for
you
it.
Want this."
Cited right here.
And they have like the time code, Your Honor. They like wear a suit. Your Honor, I think that this was a justified bugger. Let me tell you why.
Yep, he gets away with it, spreads it on Facebook, and now I'm just getting raped by everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got, you know, alibis and shit.
For it.
And this is the problem women go through.
Yeah, dude, that is interesting that women, like, because they don't want to be looked at as a slut, it's almost like if the option is taken out of their hands, that's more appealing.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, that's why I like that stigma of, oh, guy, girls like bad guys. But bad guys are just the ones who are going to break the rules and yeah. go, listen, Kara, don't worry about all that religion. Let's do it in the butt. You know, those are the guys that get ahead because they're asking it.
Yeah.
You know?
They're pushing the issue.
Taking chances.
Yes, but I was never one of those taking chances guys.
Right. Yeah, after, you know, it's hard not to get, like, rejection anxiety, you know, after a couple yeah. of things. And then you're like, oof, I don't like how that feels. I feel like some people can just, like, hit on, like, 30 girls, you know.
Yeah.
You watch, like, one of my friends, like, he just hits on 30 girls, one says yes. And then he's like making yep, out with the girl.
And that was a good night.
And then it's like, boom. Yep. That's all that. The 29 misses don't matter. It's a one makeout. That's what counts, you know? It's just about kind of like.
Yep, it's a rough life, but people love it.
It is harder being a guy. Like, girls sometimes, you know, say, oh, it's so hard being a girl. There's a glass ceiling. Please.
It's like, it's a comfortable glass ceiling, at least.
What does this mean? What Jackie keeps saying to me. He texts me and it says, "Do you see that? What is that word? Fesh giddy giddy. What does that mean? How would you say
fesh
that?
Fesh gaddy?
Fesh gaddy?
Fesh gaddy? I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Fesh gaddy.
I don't even have Jackie's number. I don't know what he's. He apparently has code words.
But he says it at the beginning of every. It goes, Fesh gaddy. Sorry I'm running late. Fashigatti, I'm getting high. Fashigatti, this and that. I don't know what that means. Just means everything and nothing.
Maybe yeah. it's a black thing that I wasn't included in on.
You what? You didn't go to the meeting?
No, I miss a lot of the meetings.
Who runs the meetings these days?
Probably Colin Powell. Oh.
Nobody likes Obama.
That was a random name I pulled. I was like, that dude's black, right? He's in power somewhere.
Alright, well, I think we're good, Byron. This is a pretty cool. good episode.
Yes.
Another layer of revealing that we had time to sit down at La Nuit before the show here. Glad I think we all got into your mind a little bit. This has been, let me think, episode 110, right?
Cool.
110 with Byron Broussard. Multiple locations. It started always at 6 p.m. Now it's
at La Nuit.
11 at La Nuit. Yeah, so
they tell you not to go to the second location, but it was safe this time.
Safe. It's weird because with La Nuit, it's like at 10:35, it's like, is there even a show going on? And then 11:15, it's like packed, weird. But anyway, that's another episode of Highway Diary, the motherfucking bag roast battle at La Nuit, March 22nd at 8 p.m. April 19th at 8 p.m. Ways in which to purchase tickets electronically will be available very soon. I am putting that things together. I'm getting a poster for the show. All that's going to happen next weekend. So look forward to being promoted to. thanks to my guest, Byron Broussard.
Thank you. It's been good.